Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-8. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for A Call to Decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 22nd day of July, 2025. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. I'm so glad you're there. And I must apologize for missing last night. I was a pretty sick puppy last night. Sick all day yesterday and right on through tonight. So I didn't make it last night. But I am feeling much better today, a little queasy, but I'm still here. And by the way, if I sound a little different, it's because the Comrex line that we do the program through is out of order. So we're using a phone tonight. So if I sound a little different, maybe a little bit chintzy or whatever, it's because we're using a regular telephone tonight. So bear with us, please, for that. And don't forget, if you need us in the office, the number to call us anytime between 9 and 4 Eastern is 800-777-4403. Or if you can call long distance, please do so. Save us quite a bit of money. 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. We'll ring right into the office and Faith be there normally to answer your phone, answer your questions, take an order, donation, whatever. And I must tell you, folks, things are really slowed down here lately. We could use some help if you feel like it, and you can, okay? Hope you remember that if you don't mind. Now, I'm going to introduce somebody here that I met up in Coach Dave's on the 14th of last month at this Father's Day get-together. I can't believe that's been over a month ago already, how fast time goes by. This summer's flying by. His name is John Allen Brockhoff. He wrote a book entitled To My Great, Great Grandchildren. It's a book that, I have to admit, the man, I want a copy of, and I got a copy of it. I wanted to read what he had to say. I'm going to share just a minute who he is, just a second. But when I met the man, very unassuming gentleman. Not the kind of guy that seeks attention. Not the kind of guy that's boisterous and loud. Very calm-spoken. Very mild-mannered. One thing I did like that he did, he loves blowing big bubbles. He has a solution. He has in a big bucket and I fix up a rope and a couple of sticks and pick them up. Those bubbles are probably six, seven foot around. But anyway, he likes blowing bubbles and sharing the joy of watching bubbles. He does it sometimes in parking lots and pass out cards to people there, tracks, different things, because it gets attention with the bubbles first. And then he gives them a track to read. But when I met John, I hadn't known him before, but I had Coach introduced him in a rather different way. But I'm not going to get into that just yet. I'm going to let John get into that. John, are you there?
Yes, sir.
It is good to have you, John.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you being with me tonight. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Well, it really is. I mean, it's just, I'm proud to know you, put it that way. And some people tonight are not going to like what we're talking about. Some may get mad at me. That's okay. I have to get over that. They'll get over it either way, because we're going to do something that I talk about, something I think was a very heroic deed that should have been done 1,000 times over. But because we have a nation full of cowards and apathetic individuals, most of them go to church, it didn't happen. Except for very few men took a stand. But, John, before we get into what we're going to talk about tonight, tell the folks a little bit about John. I mean, where'd you come from, and what did you do for a living? What was your background?
After high school, I went in the Navy. I was in the Navy from 69 to 73. I volunteered for service in Vietnam, and eventually they sent me there. After that, I was... I worked in home improvements for a few years, did a couple years of college, and I had some periods of unemployment and underemployment because there was a lot of prejudice against Vietnam veterans.
Yes, there were.
Anyway, though, so I eventually got a job in the Postal Service, and I did that until before that I did some sales jobs, and then I got in the Postal Service, and I worked there almost 4 years until they put me in prison.
Okay. Now, all right, folks, you heard his quick bio there, and you heard what he was doing. Then you already know he was put in prison. Now, what kind of crime did this man do? How many people did he kill? Did he destroy anything that wasn't worthy of being destroyed? Let's put it that way. Well, did he do anything that's immoral? I know some preachers say yes. I met them before, but they said yes, and they do that because they don't want to get involved in something controversial. But that's just the way it is. Now, John, you're about my age. You're 70 what now?
74.
74. I'm 76, right ahead of you.
I'm 74 and a half.
74 and a half. Well, I'm 76, almost 77. So I've got a few years on you yet. You know, you two were... A Vietnam era veteran, obviously, and you come home, and I'm sure you had a lot of second thoughts about why you went over there, and all kinds of different situations when you get home. But now,
I never did.
Did you not?
I never had any second thoughts about why I went over, and because I went over to fight communism. And I never had any second thoughts about fighting communism.
Well, I know what you're saying on there, but I had many, many second thoughts about nothing coming out of it besides 60,000 men dead and a lot of rich men. Rich men made more money on it. That gave me second thoughts. But nonetheless, you come home and you come back into a different world, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And you come back, and what were your thoughts when you first come back? I mean, I want to give people to know who you are and how you think. What were your thoughts when you come back and you saw things changing in this country?
I didn't really notice the change until later on.
What was it that you noticed?
Well, in 1984, I bought a copy of the Cincinnati Enquirer newspaper, and I read it, and there was an article in there by Patrick J. Buchanan, a syndicated columnist.
Yes, I've been doing that a long time ago. Yes, go ahead.
It was an anti-abortion rant, and, you know, I don't mean to sound in a negative way.
No, that's
but
good.
Anyway,
that's actually yeah. What's what. Yeah, right on. Go ahead.
So when I had read that article, when I got to the end, it's like my eyes were opened about this issue for the first time. I'd heard the statistics before, you know, like 1.6 million a year. But statistics are people with the blood wiped away.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they're just numbers. That's all they seem. They're just numbers. Go ahead.
So I immediately solved that a righteous government, when they outlaw abortion or that they acknowledge that abortion is illegal, and they prosecute abortionists who get caught, then when abortions are done in secret, it's murder. But when the government is defending it, it's a war crime and a crime against humanity. Those were the words of U.S. Attorney General Robert Jackson in 1947, during the Nuremberg War Crimes Tribunal, where they put these Nazi war criminals on trial. So,
you know, it's amazing how people forgot that so quickly. But go ahead. Yes, this is, go ahead.
Okay, so as soon as I finished that article, I knew immediately that I was going to be coming against these facilities, you know, abortion chambers, with destructive force. I was going to destroy them. So I met my first anti-abortion activist a few weeks after that. Well, it was a few months, actually. I was lonely. I didn't know any other anti-abortion activist. And when he invited me to his house, and he showed me this literature with graphic photos of dismembered arms and legs and intestines hanging out, eyes bulging out. And so when I saw it, I said, "Oh, dear God, I'm sorry. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And I went on like that, you know, for a while. And he said, "I know how you feel." I reacted the same way when I saw these pictures. And then he told me, think of this, though. When a baby is being torn limb from limb, the Lord sees through the abdominal wall of that woman and sees this happening. And I believe that the Lord feels our suffering. I believe that He suffers with the babies. Anyway,
I think you're right.
So, one time when somebody asked me why I did it, I told them, well, the main reason was I felt sorry for God. And I felt sorry for the babies who were being tortured to death. So, When you go to prison, the other inmates demand to know what you're in there for, and you have to tell them, because if you did, they that you were a child molester. So anyhow, I told them that I was in there for destroying abortion facilities, firebombing them, and he was a fellow Christian that was in prison. And he said, "Brother, that was wrong." So, anyhow.
Excuse me. He said you were wrong?
Yeah, he said that what I had done was wrong.
Okay.
So, I said, "Well, the only reason you think that way was because it was somebody else who was going to be tortured to death, and not you." And so I asked him, "Do born people, an innocent adult or teenager or toddler, deserve to have their life defended by the use of force? Is that justified?" "Yeah." "Well, is a preborn baby a human being the same as you and me?" "Yeah." So I said, "You just contradicted yourself then." And that's what you call cognitive dissonance.
That's very true.
I had made it irrefutable to him, and so he said, "You're right, brother. It's justified." And he said, "But I'm too scared to do it." And I said, "I understand that. I was too scared to do it too."
What was he in prison for?
I don't remember. Gosh, this was a long time ago.
So he admitted he was too scared to do it. I would say that 99% of people out there probably were too scared to do it.
Oh, more than that. Maybe 999 out of 1,000, or maybe even more than that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So what I had learned how to use fear instead of holding me back. I learned to use fear in reverse. So instead of holding me back, it propelled me forward.
How'd you do that?
Well, if you feel like it's your duty to do something for humanity and for your country, and it's a high risk thing that could cause you to die or lose your freedom, instead of thinking about the bad things that could go wrong if you do it, think about the bad things that will happen if you don't do it. And so besides feeling sorry for God and feeling sorry for the babies, I'd read the Bible
still there?
5 or 6 times in its entirety before this.
Did we lose him, Don?
And I remembered 1 Corinthians says,
did we lose him?
Even if I give my body to be burnt. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can you hear me okay?
I can't. Yeah, we lost you there for a second. Go ahead.
Okay. So I remembered 1 Corinthians 13 where Paul said, if I give my life, you know, give my body to be burnt, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. And I thought, man, if I'm going to die doing this, you know, or go to prison, I don't want it to be for nothing. So, I mentally superimposed myself on this baby. And instead of thinking about abortion, the issue, and the statistics, I focused on one baby that I knew was there, even though I didn't see this baby. And I'd read the Bible so many times where it says to love your neighbor as yourself. And I had always kind of interpreted that as meaning love your neighbor as much as yourself. But much isn't in there. It just says love your neighbor as yourself. And I got this insight that maybe it meant love your neighbor as if he is yourself. That's me standing out there in the cold, hungry, you know?
Good point.
So anyway, I had to act like that it wasn't the baby, it was me. And so if I was going to be dismembered and tortured to death tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, what would courage have to do with it? I'd say I would do it. You know, I would go firebomb that place because I'd say, "Hey, if I get caught, I'll go to prison, or if I die, you know. But if I don't do anything, I'm surely going to die. I have no chance of survival." And so that's how I went to the place. So one cold winter night, I went to an anti-abortion rally. It was massive. There were hundreds of us at Planned Parenthood of Cincinnati. And so there were about maybe 50 Planned Parenthood employees and supporters lined up in front of the sidewalk. I mean, behind the sidewalk on their lawn. And so at one point, oh, It was Melody Green, Keith Green's widow. She was going across the country in a convoy of buses with a couple of evangelists going to cities trying to rally people against abortion.
Right.
And so they were carrying seven little caskets with seven dead babies in them. These were second trimester babies that had been killed by saline poisoning, where the abortionist sucks out the what's that fluid in there? Amniotic fluid.
Embryonic fluid.
And fills the sack with saline solution that destroys the baby, that kills the baby, burns the skin off.
It burns it alive.
Yes. So our people carried these seven caskets across with these little babies. They were naked, you know, and they were fully formed because they were second trimester. And I thought to myself, now, when our people take these precious babies over, they were taking them over to walk along the line of pro-aborts to show them the fruit of their wickedness. And I thought, now some of these people over there probably just think that the babies are a blob of tissue, but when they see these fully formed babies with fingerprints that no one had ever born before nor ever would again, when they see these babies, surely some of them will be ashamed of their position, and surely at least one or two will come over to our side. But none of them did. And in fact, I watched their faces, and a lot of them were mocked and laughed at the sight of these babies who had been slain.
That takes a special kind of evil. Read that. That's demonic. But go ahead.
Now, that was in December of 1985, and I had made my resolution in, like, September of 84, so it had been more than a year, but I was too afraid to do it. And I would try to, and when I was with other picketers, you know, and sidewalk counselors, I would speak hypothetically about the use of force and about how it's justified, hoping that someone would say, yeah. And maybe I could try to recruit somebody to go with me, but nobody, you know. So I kept telling myself, I'm going to do it. You know, when I felt ashamed that I hadn't done it yet, I kept saying, I'm really going to do it. And I knew that I was going to do it. Anyway, though, so when I saw that, when I experienced that demonstration that I just told you about, where the pro board scoffed and laughed at the sight of these babies, I was furious. I was enraged, and I said, this was on a Saturday, and I said, tomorrow night, Sunday night, I'm going to take this place down. There was also a quarter of a mile from Planned Parenthood of Cincinnati. Have you ever heard of partial birth abortion?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Partial birth abortion, where it's done on full-term babies, was invented by an abortionist named Martin Haskell in Cincinnati, and his abortion chamber was just a quarter of a mile from Planned Parenthood. So I said, I'm gonna destroy both of them tomorrow night. Actually, it was Monday morning. I went out Sunday night, and it ended up being like 2:45 a.m. when I did it. I wanted to make sure there was nobody in there.
Right.
And so I firebombed them. I got away with it for 2.5 years. And but the ATF came to see me, shake me down a couple days later. I thought that maybe they would be waiting in my driveway when I got home from firebombing these places, because several months before that, I went to the Florence, Kentucky City Council meeting. They were having a meeting to discuss whether to give an occupational license to an abortionist that was going to be coming up from Louisville to kill babies in Florence. And I made a very menacing speech there. And so it got reported. Well, it didn't get reported then, but they voted 9-0 to deny the abortionist the license. He appealed it. He took them to court, but they didn't give it to him. Anyway, though, when I left, some radio reporter interviewed me.
By the way, I want to say this, John. Just stop and thank the unborn babies you may have saved by that speech that night in that area in Florence, Kentucky. You may have saved up who knows how many babies' lives. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the babies who are born, they're now like 38 years old, and they've had babies of their own. So I think I can lay claim that the Lord used me to not only save them, but their babies.
You save generations.
Yeah, if you stop an abortion, you don't just save one baby, you save generations.
Amen. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Praise God for that. Now, I just got to ask, how did they finally track you down?
Well, I was going to go down to Pensacola, Florida. One of the reasons I was going to go there, but let me back up first. So I thought when I got home from firebombing those abortion chambers that the ATF, that's the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms,
right,
that they might be in my driveway waiting for me. Because after I gave the interview to the radio reporter after the abortionist appearance in court, the ATF agents came to my house and interviewed me and said, are you going to destroy those abortion clinics in Cincinnati? And I said no, even though I was determined and resolute that I was going to. Well, did I lie? Well, if you want to say that I lied, okay.
That lie was to save lives. Don't you feel ashamed of that? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the way I look at it was, I was giving disinformation to enemies of my country during
there
a time
go.
Of war.
And the enemies of unborn children, innocent children. Absolutely. Go right ahead.
So, okay, where was I? So they came and I told them no. I gave more disinformation.
All right, hang on through the break. We got to go to break. Folks, back at the break, you have any phone calls? Some of y'all going to be scared of death calling. I realize that. Having phone calls, questions, comments, you can call us at 717-300-1698. I am proud to know John Bruckhoff.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nemana Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nemana a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406 274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd, that's spelled H-U-R-D, 224 Herd Road, Netty, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
All righty, folks, we are back. We're talking to John Allen Brookhoff. We're going to advertise his book in a minute, entitled To My Great-Great-Grandchildren. This book is written, I'm not going to get into all the details, I don't want to spoil the book for you, but it's written in sequences. While he's in prison, he wrote chapters in this book. And this book is a very interesting read. You understand the man's mindset much, much better once you read his book. You understand his reasoning once you read his book. You know, our theme song had been from over almost 33 years, This is War. Satan's armies come to kill. And that is definitely true. And we're seeing it every day, many different ways. But now, one thing for sure, we've seen it manifest itself since 1973 inside medical clinics that call themselves health care centers. But again, the churches as a whole are afraid to do anything about it. They're afraid to say anything about it. Afraid they might get radicalized. And I myself, John, have been called before the FBI 3 times already. And I was called before a federal grand jury once, too. So I understand what it's like to be singled out a little bit and people want to just kind of make an example of you. But, you know, when you do what's right, it doesn't bother you so much because you did what was right. And I know how you feel what you did. You did what was right. You knew it was needed done. And you did it. Now, you were talking about how they come about to find you. Go ahead.
Well, it was kind of a setup. Well, I'll tell you a sad story. I worked the night shift at the post office. And when I went to work, a neighbor man that lived up the road a little ways came down and committed adultery with my wife, the one I was married to at that time.
I'm sorry.
So I told her that I was going to go to Pensacola, take a week of vacation from the post office and go down to Pensacola and destroy an abortion chamber down there. It was the only one left after Matt Goldsby and James Simmons destroyed the other two. So anyhow, I went to Chicago for a banquet before going to Florida, and I had this real bad feeling that if I went on that mission, I would either be killed or imprisoned. And it was a real heavy feeling. So when I got back from Chicago, I told her that I was canceling, I was going to postpone the mission until later. And because I knew that if I went there, I would either be killed or imprisoned. She said, "Oh, go on. You'll be okay." I said, "Well, what are you going to do if I'm killed or imprisoned?" And so she held up our baby. He was about a year old. And she said, "If you don't go, a little one like this will die. They'll die." I said, "You're right, honey. I can't let fear hold me back." So I went, and after I left, or no, even before, while I was in Chicago, she contacted the feds, federal agents, and told them what I was going to do. So they were waiting for me down there. It was like a sting operation, except it was my idea in the first place, but I wanted to postpone it and put it off until later because I knew something was going to happen. So anyhow,
but did they know about the one in Cincinnati? But then did they figure it out, or they just come to arrest you in Florida? What was the reason they arrested you?
I had taken explosives down to Florida, so I was charged with. I was charged with possession of unregistered explosives, interstate transportation of unregistered explosives with intent to destroy buildings affecting interstate commerce, and attempt to destroy buildings affecting interstate commerce. So the two strikes in Cincinnati were successful, but the one in Pensacola failed. So the judge, though, was a pro-life Catholic who had been appointed by Ronald Reagan, and although I was convicted on all three counts, he only gave me 30 months for each count served concurrently. So it was like one 30-month sentence. And so, so I got off real light, and then I served that sentence, and on the day that of my mandatory release, when I served all my time, the time that I had served plus the good time that I had earned totaled the whole sentence, and it was my mandatory release date, on my way to the gate, I was already dressed in street clothes, turned in my prison uniform, and on my way to the gate, I was arrested, and on the charges of the Cincinnati fire bombings. So I was sentenced to another 7 years, of which I had to serve four.
Well, how did they figure it out?
Well, the woman I was married to then, she told her father, and he made a written statement to and gave it to the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
So your wife more or less squealed on you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Because she was an adulteress, I felt justified in remarrying, and so when I got out, I married one of my pen pals, and we had six more children together.
Okay.
So, should I tell your listeners the story, the prison story, about the day I wanted to...
Go ahead and tell the prison story. Yeah, go ahead, then we'll take some phone calls. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it was a medium to maximum security prison in Asheville, Kentucky. And they had cheeseburgers and French fries every day. Every Wednesday. So everybody was in a better mood on Wednesday. And so, and they were like steak burgers too, and the French fries were beautiful golden brown. So anyhow, one Wednesday, I wanted an extra cheeseburger. So I waited for the line to go way down to make sure everybody got one. And when there were just maybe 10 more guys in line, I got a clean tray and tried to act innocent and go through the line again. I was at the end of the line. And so there was a guard there with a prisoner whose work detail was there in the chow hall. And when the guard saw me, he said, "Haven't you been through the line once already?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Get out of here. You know you can only go through the line once." So I went back to my table to finish my first cheeseburger and fries. And when I walked away, the prisoner said to the guard, "You know who that is, don't you?" And then the guard said, "No, who?" And he said, "That's John Brockhoff. He's the one that burns down abortion clinics." So no sooner than I sat down, well, maybe a minute or two, the prisoner came out with 5 cheeseburgers on a tray and gave them to me. I only wanted one extra, so I gave the other 4 to other inmates that were at my table.
Oh, wow, what a story. I mean, that is, some people actually appreciate, even other criminals can appreciate a man who's trying to do what's right and save babies' lives. That's all there is to it. And, folks, I want to tell you about a book here. I'm going to offer it. I'm going to take a phone call. The book is entitled To My Great-Great-Grandchildren. It's a very well-written book. It's really easy reading. It's the kind of reading that you don't want to lay down. You want to hear what's next. And John goes all through the sequence about how he planned what he did, how he was very careful not to harm anybody in the process. And it's a very, very well-articulated book, very well-written, something that everyone's going to want to read if you think this man's a hero like I do. Now, they're $20. John has no way to take money except if you want to get them, you can get them through me. They're $20. When you're right to get one, give me your name and address, of course, we'll mail. Pardon?
Cash.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Picture of Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, a picture of Andrew Jackson. Yes, that's a $20 bill. Yes, but just send us to us, and we will see that this book is ordered and sent to you. $20. It's a book that you're going to read, and you're going to really enjoy your reading. As far as the courage, the desire to do something right, to save innocent children, while most of the so-called churches are sucking on the thumb, waiting for the rapture. He's out in the street saving babies' lives. Now, folks, he's didn't save 4 or 5 children. He saved generations of people. Now, that to me is a remarkable, remarkable testimony that everyone should be very thankful to know this man and that he did what he did because he knew it was the right thing to do. Let's go to the phone call. Let's go to Chance right here in West Virginia. Chance, come on in.
Go ahead,
John.
Hey, Butch, wait a minute. Tell them they can buy it on Amazon if they want, but if they send you a $20, if they send you a $20 bill, I will mail them one with my convicted felon fingerprint inside the front cover, and I'll sign it for them. I'll put their name on it.
All right, folks, you heard that. You heard that. All right, Chance, come on in.
Yes, hello, Pastor Butch. Hello, John.
Hello.
John, let me tell you, I'm anti-abortion, too. I think abortion is murder, okay? But nevertheless, I'm sure you must have felt these thoughts. When you started, you said you were lonely, okay? Let me tell you something. Never make any decisions to join any group or befriend any strangers when you're lonely. Because then you become prey for everybody and everything. That's number one. Number two, you mentioned shame. I found out you can't shame people. They're stubborn in their thoughts, even when they're wrong, and their pride won't let them change their own minds, no matter how you try. Number three, how many people in your circles offer to pay your bill, visit you in jail, or bring you anything that you needed. I'm sure you must have thought about these things. You know, you might have done what was right, but the outcome being what it was, meaning how people probably then abandoned you and avoided you, is the main lesson here. You took the risk, so to speak, and others took advantage of you taking that risk. Have you felt that way? Have you given that much thought when you were in jail?
Oh, I had a lot of support. My friends, who were already my friends, none of them abandoned me, and they came to see me in prison. And back in those days, there were a lot of people in prison for fighting abortion. And somebody published a Prisoners of Christ prisoner list that had the names and prison addresses of everybody who was in prison for fighting abortion. And I had supporters in 43 states and like four foreign countries.
Wow.
Okay, well, you were one of the lucky ones then, I presume, but I would imagine there's some in there that were dealt with the way I mentioned. Now, considering nowadays, how long ago was this?
I firebombed the two abortion chambers in Cincinnati in December of 85, and I was busted in May of 88.
88, okay.
And I got out in 95.
Okay, but knowing how people are now and how they changed in those years, I honestly don't think that people would stand by your side like they did back then, because everybody is fearful nowadays, and there's a different mindset. It's a mindset of division and fear now. I hope I'm wrong, but that's what I see, and I'm glad things worked out for you with your circle of friends there. But nowadays, I don't know if that would be the same situation. And that's all I wanted to say now. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Chance. Appreciate it. Folks,
thanks.
Lines open at 717-300-1698. Go ahead, John.
Who, me?
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Oh, I thought you had a caller named John.
No. He just hung up. You go ahead. We'll take another one here in a minute.
Okay. Well, let's see. How much time we got left? 12 minutes?
Yeah, about 12 minutes, yeah.
Well, in my Florida case, I insisted on going to trial, and I wouldn't plead guilty because I wasn't guilty, and because in all 50 states plus the U.S. Constitution, there are clauses called the defense of necessity, in which it says that it is legal to commit an act which would be otherwise illegal if the purpose is to prevent a greater evil. And so I made them take me to trial. They had a map. They found in my car a map with an X marking the spot where the abortion chamber was, and explosives and detonators that I'd made myself. So anyhow, I was convicted, and at one point my attorney came to see me in jail, and he said, "Now tomorrow, a pre-sentence investigator is going to come see you and interview you to determine what the federal sentencing guidelines should be for your convictions." And he said, "One of the things he's going to ask you, one of the factors is a thing called acceptance of responsibility, and there's two parts to that. You have to admit that you did it, and you have to express remorse. Well, everybody knew I wasn't remorseful, so I'm sitting there on my bunk in my cell, trying to think, oh man, what am I going to do? I don't want to serve any more time than I have to. And but I wasn't going to lie though, and I thought, what if I lied? What would that sound like to God? Because I had some biological children of my own, and these babies are his children. And so I thought, now, if one of my children was going to be tortured to death tomorrow, and some freedom fighter went out on a limb to rescue them, and afterwards said that they were remorseful for trying to save my child, that would offend me. And so I thought it would offend the Lord. I'm not going to let him, the Lord, hear me say I'm remorseful for that. And I wasn't. Anyway, so I thought maybe I'll try to change the subject. And when he brings it up, I'll say, oh, yeah, I admit that I did it. And then try to circumlocute around the other part. So he did. He asked me about the acceptance of responsibility. So anyway, I admitted to the first part, and I tried to steer the conversation another way. And he said, there's another part to it, remorse. And I said, well, I thought about it last night, you know, about how I should reply to that and how it would sound to the Lord if I lied. I'm not remorseful. So he hung his head, and he couldn't look me in the eye after that. And so I asked him, just out of curiosity, how much more time would I have gotten off if I had lied and said I was remorseful? He said, it would have lowered your guidelines by 6 months. And I said, you mean I only have to do another 6 months to maintain my personal integrity? Bring it on. I'll do it. So anyhow, when I went to court, now on the way to court for when I was sentenced, my attorney told me that the prosecutor was going to try to get my sentence enhanced 6 months because of what he called reckless endangerment. And so my attorney said, I'm going to appeal that, though. So there in court, before the judge, the prosecutor made that motion that my guidelines be enhanced 6 months for reckless endangerment. And the judge said, now remember, this is a pro-life Catholic judge appointed by Ronald Reagan to a life term.
Right.
So the judge said, I'm ruling in Mr. Brockhoff's favor because I want to give him a shorter sentence. So the judge gave me 6 months off, even though I refused to express remorse.
Yeah, our Heavenly Father honored you with that. That's a fact. Let's go to Arizona and talk to Gary. Gary, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Butch. I thank you very much, brother, for what you've done and what you've gone through. You know, I stand up on the streets myself and show everybody what abortion is here in Arizona.
Glory to God.
Yeah, and I show people pictures of aborted babies, and I also show them pictures of natural affection, mothers kissing their babies and holding their babies and loving their babies. And I thank you so very, 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 very much for what you do and what you went through. And I remember when I first started out here where I was at, there was calling the police on me. It seemed like every 10 minutes, you know, trying to get me off the street. But by God, I'm still out there. Now, I want to say one more thing real quick, Boach. Okay. For any young woman that's listening to this program right now, I want you to know this. Okay, please. Okay, if you're a woman who had aborted your child, I want you to know that if you confess your sin before a holy God and forsake that and ask for forgiveness, He is ready to forgive your sin.
Amen.
No matter how heinous it is, We have a loving God. And I know a lot of people that's in a pro-life movement now. There are some of them, you know, who worked in abortion clinics and stuff, and they confessed their sin before God, and God forgave them. And by God, they're out there just like you are, or like I am, and like
Amen. Richard.
God bless
Amen.
You both.
Thank you. Thank Bye-bye. You, Gary. Thank you very much. Go ahead. Go ahead, John.
A special part of my book, to my great-great-grandchildren, I speak to women who have had abortions. And it's like a gospel tract. I shared the gospel with them and tell
Amen.
Them how they can
and
be forgiven.
It's in there. It's in there. Folks, again, the book is $20. You can order Amazon if you want to, if you can do that. A lot of people listening to this broadcast don't do computers. You can put a $20 bill, as he said, a picture of Jackson in an envelope with your name and address, and he'll see a copy of it. I promise you'll get it. You'll get it. I mean, that's unless if you lost the mail or something, you will get it. So you just write us here at the ministry. You can call tomorrow and get the address if you don't have it at 800-777-4403. Or 304-846-4448. And folks, I'd recommend buying these books to anybody out there that you know is standing for the life of unborn children. It's worth the $20 to get this book and read it from a hero in the eyes of God, in the army of God. They're scarce today, folks, very
yeah.
scarce. John, we're down about the last 30 seconds. What do you want to say?
I'm sorry about the price, but it cost me a couple of million dollars and lost wages and benefits in 7 years of my life, so to speak. But so, anyhow, we're down to 3 seconds.
About 15 seconds.
Okay. Well, hey, your last caller, if Gary, was it? If he's still there, do you
yeah.
know Bob Paulson? Do you know Bob Paulson?
I know the name, yes.
He, your caller from Arizona, I mean.
Yeah. Well,
Bob Paulson is a... Okay, Bob Paulson's a friend of mine who's in Arizona. He goes to the abortion chambers in Arizona.
Oh, okay. John, it's been an honor to have you, my friend. I'll be in touch in the future, okay?
Okay, brother.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me. We'll see you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. More than welcome. Folks, for the grace of God, I'll see you tomorrow night. Oh, have a wonderful night. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.